is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today I'm interviewing Justin Kramen, who's the author of a new novel, his first novel, called Finny, F-I-N-N-Y. Hi, Justin, how are you?
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I really like this book. I think it's, you know, it's a kind of unusual novel, I think. I was thinking about it being slightly Victorian in some of its writing style, and then when we were talking just before we went on the air, you mentioned Dickens. Maybe you could talk a little bit about your influences in writing this novel, and then we can talk a little bit about the book and the characters in the story.
Sure. Well, it really started that I had been writing a certain kind of fiction, and I felt like I had hit a kind of a wall in my writing, and at the time I was reading some kind of big coming-of-age novels. One of the big ones was David Copperfield, the Dickens novel, but also some more contemporary ones, like some John Irving novels. And I sort of fell in love with this style of writing and these kind of big adventures and slightly larger-than-life characters. And
Almost like an epic of an entire generation coming of age, not just obviously focusing on an individual, but it seems like, you know, representative of a certain age.
I think that's right. And I think, like you mentioned, it comes from these big 19th century plots. And I think the thing was, like I said, I sort of fell in love with these books. And as is the case when, you know, you fall in love with anything, you kind of realize things about, you know, it over time and I think that one of the things that I realized was that a lot of these books were about young men coming into the world, and this kind of story was often a story about a young man coming into his own or coming into the wider world. And I was interested in what it would be like to tell that story from the point of view of a young woman coming into the world.
Right, and that's certainly something I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, typically one would assume it's difficult for a male writer to inhabit a female sensibility. And I think, you know, not only is Finny female, but, you know, many of your other main characters that she relates to are also women. And, you know, like there's the girl when she goes off to a boarding school briefly in her story, she becomes close friends, this pivotal figure for her.
Judith. Yeah.
You know, so that you've got a lot of women characters in this book that you had to somehow figure out how to express.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think there are several different answers to that. I think one is that I'm basically only about 51% male, so it's always been fun for me to write female characters, and pretty comfortable, actually. And I think the other thing, though, is I think it kind of goes to the kind of book that I want to write. I think writing female characters, there's a way that I'm able to step out of myself that is really appealing for fiction writers, or at least for me as a fiction writer. And so if I'm writing about relationships or friendships or sex, that it's an interesting thing to be able to cut myself out of that completely. And I think it allows me to kind of universalize about those experiences in a certain way that would be harder if I were just taking my own temperature all the time.
Well, of course, but you run there kind of into this argument, you know, that people have had about literature forever, which is authenticity of the experience. You know, that it's sort of like, how could a man write about having a child, for example,
mm-hmm.
because there's no way that you could ever have that experience. So you can only write about it, let's say, sympathetically or empathetically, but not necessarily in the same way that a woman could ever write that. So it creates that, there's a barrier there for you, even though the other side of that argument is imagination can supersede any barrier.
And I think the wonderful thing about I think that's exactly right, and the wonderful thing about what you're bringing up is that I think that really gets to the heart of what fiction is, which is trying to create some kind of an artifice or a lie that actually is more truthful than what actually happened, than the facts of what happened. And so I think, in a sense, the ability to do that and step outside of yourself is really what fiction is about in a lot of ways, at least for me.
Well, it seems like an opportunity for the, I mean, I think, you know, the essential principle in a way is that if the writer is growing and changing and being transformed by the experience, then so is the reader. And that's what makes it powerful. And I think that's why I think your book succeeds, because, you know, you have, you have characters who go through big life changes and they learn who they are. And you're talking about a lot of painful experiences. I guess for people who are listening, you know, maybe we should talk a little bit about the story, and maybe you can summarize it without giving away anything that would harm someone reading it. It would be good to just set the scene and talk a little bit about who these people are.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the basis of the story is it's a coming of age tale and a love story. And we follow this young woman, Finny Short, who's kind of a misfit. She's sort of a defiant, lonely character who has a very great and sharp sense of humor, but doesn't really fit in with her parents and the community that she's in. And we follow her for 20 years of her life. She has a chance meeting with a young man named Earl in this sort of idyllic country setting outside of her house. And that kind of sets off a series of big adventures that come to really define her life over that period of 20 years that the book discusses. And in the course, she meets a lot of sort of lively and eccentric characters, which you mentioned before, and among them are a narcoleptic pianist, this seductive heiress to a New York fortune that she meets at boarding school, and sort of there are a lot of these big Dickensian characters, and I wanted to really create the kind of excitement and enchantment that I felt about those big old stories, but the humor, but also do it with sort of bringing in a maybe kind of my modern sense of psychology and character a little bit, so that maybe there was something a little bit of a different angle I could add to that story.
Well, I think you have definitely got humor in the book. You know, the story, the beginning where Finny is with her family, it reminded me a little bit of Matilda, you know, that she just is, you know, has this terrible situation at home. But I also thought you had, you know, there was those kind of, momentous events that drive the story forward, like her father dies at one point, and, you know, her mother takes up with another guy, and there's an interesting turn there. And then, as you mentioned, the narcoleptic pianist who's Earl's father, her neighbor, where she takes lessons. And there's a kind of sweetness to a lot of this where you have her, the people around her are really just wonderful in a lot of ways. And really take care of her. And, you know, there's some warm and deep and wonderful relationships that she has. But then you've got this whole kind of, the other comparative would be War and Peace, you know, the kind of large events that change your character's ability to see each other.
Yes, I love to compare myself to Tolstoy all the time.
Right, that's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that kind of love thwarted, and, you know, you don't really know where this is going to go, which is good. You know, because readers, I don't like predictability in the plot line.
One thing I was going to say, though, also, when you were mentioning some of these things, is it kind of goes back to the earlier thing that you were talking about writing fiction versus writing, you know, fact or things that actually happened to yourself or autobiography. And another part that I love about writing fiction is that you can make it so much more fun than reality in a lot of ways. And it's not that it doesn't point to things that are in reality, but, I mean, one example that I was thinking of as you were talking before was that I'll tell you, like, a real-life thing that happened to me and kind of how it was transformed. I had this experience where I was working as a caterer and bartender and waiter, doing a lot of service jobs in New York while I was writing Finny, and I got hired to work for this catering company, and I had to attend this unpaid training session, and you can imagine how happy the people who are attending this would be. And so I we were sitting there, and basically the whole session consisted of this guy who was the owner of the catering company kind of telling us how great the company was and how much better the food was than the other places. And he had this assistant who he would look over every time he, you know, said something about how wonderful the company was, and he'd say, "Isn't that right, Edna?" And her whole job was just to agree with him and say, "Yeah, that's right." And at the time, I remember just kind of being sort of annoyed by it. But then in the course, as I was writing Finney, I remember that I realized that I could kind of use that, and that dynamic of that authority figure kind of asking for approval became the principal of Finney's boarding school.
Oh, right,
kind of routine you might remember with her secretary, where she says, you know, ask her to kind of corroborate these ridiculous self-inflations that she has about herself. And it becomes this kind of comic scene where they're going back and forth. And I thought it'd also be funny to make it so they could only talk on this kind of outmoded form of communication. So they go back and forth on a buzzer system, and it becomes kind of silly. So it was this way that I could say something that was like slightly dark about kind of power and egos that I had felt and sort of been annoyed by in real life. But I was able to transform it and have it become this thing that was consistent with the funny tone of the book and allowed me to say what I wanted to say about the world. But in a sense, it was truer than the actual thing that had happened, that it let me say something about the way people are in authority positions that I don't think I could have said if I had just told the story about catering.
Well, you know, I actually hadn't thought of it before just this minute, but you remind me of S.J. Perelman, who is one of my favorite writers. You know, mm-hmm. humor used as a barb, essentially, that you can skewer the absurd and the ridiculous, and particularly powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, powerful people and powerful entities lend themselves to being skewered in, mm-hmm. in humor. And in that respect, you know, we don't have as many funny novels, I think, as there used to be. You know, maybe we're in an era of seriousness. I don't know. But humor is really good.
But I think the other thing also, yeah, I agree with you, and I completely agree with you. The other thing about what you're saying, though, is that I think the thing that I really admired in Dickens and reading Dickens and the way it kind of opened up this whole world for me was that he does it with such a warmth that it's not just satire, it's not just making fun or looking down on people, that he embraces the people as well, and there's a humanity to it. And I think that careful line of both being able to see the humor but also the depth and sadness in people is a line that I really aspire to being able to walk as a writer.
Well, I think that's admirable, actually, because it is true. Humor can go beyond, let's say, the critical into the disparaging and, you know, treat the other as non-human. And then it becomes, you know, just anger masked mm-hmm. in some other way. But no, I think that's a good point about it. Your book has broad humor, and as I said before, I think your characters, even the ones who are less than sympathetic, you never really hang them out to dry. They always, in some way or another, can be forgiven,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was, you know, I think that's a good thing.
Well, thank you.
Keeps you away from stereotypes too.
Thank you. Yeah, and I hope that would be the case. I mean, I think that's the case in life, right? I mean, that people can annoy you so much in one context and you feel like you want to kill them, but then you see something else that they do and it breaks your heart, you know?
Right. Well, you know that even when you're angry at someone, their sadness is probably greater than yours.
Yeah, yeah. At least I hope so.
So okay. This is your first novel. You started out writing short stories, I think.
I did.
Did you always want to write a novel, or did this just kind of evolve in some way?
I never wanted to write a novel. I wanted to do everything I could to avoid writing a novel, that, you know, and just all the work that was involved in it. But no, I mean, it's funny that I think it just kind of evolves as you're writing. I worked on stories, and I thought that's what I really wanted to work on. There are things that I loved and I still love about that form and what you can do and the self-contained nature of the short story and how perfect a story can be, which I think is almost impossible to do with a novel. But as I read more and more and kind of broadened what I was reading. I really became interested in writing novels. And like I said, these books that I was reading around the time when I started writing Finney, kind of, they're like these treasure chests of just characters and moments. And the way that you can move back to characters over time in a novel is very interesting to me. I love when you have a novel that goes over a long span, and every time you see a character again, it's like you're coming home in a sense. And that feeling over time of living in a world is something that I became really interested in. And
I think that's why people like to read novels, because it gives you a chance to enter this entire world and be transported. So but it's hard to. I mean, writing novels is very, very difficult. As anyone who has tried and failed will know, and even in the most successful novelists know, it's really hard work.
Like you said, I've only written one novel, and I am hugely admiring of people who have written a lot of novels, so I can't speak to that. As far as just this one novel that I've written, I've noticed that there are very different challenges than in stories, and I agree with everything that you're saying, and I would just add that I think it's almost like, you know, doing another sport or something, having to learn to run a marathon instead of, you know, sprinting or something like that, that you're kind of just exercising completely different muscles than you do in the shorter form.
Well, do you have any, that kind of leads to the next, well, two other things I wanted to ask about. One is that, you know, I've talked to a lot of writers for whom the characters become the characters inhabit their psyche once they've created them, and that then they kind of continue on and they make demands, you know, to do other things. And then I've also talked to writers who've said, absolutely done, you know, finish that story, not going back, moving on to the next. And I'm just, you know, I'm always curious, like, for you, do these characters continue on in your mind, and does that mean more writing about them, or are you finished with them and you're on to the next thing?
Well, as far as writing about them more, I'm not sure about that, but I think my hope is always, especially if I'm working on a longer piece, that the characters will have this kind of life outside of the book in a way. I want the world to be kind of intricate and detailed enough that it feels like somewhere that exists even out of the events that I'm telling in the book, so that you could say, well, that's what Mr. Henkel would do on a Thursday afternoon if he were sitting by himself, even though I never really describe that in the book, or that's something Finney would say in this context. I want it to be the kind of thing where you feel like you know those people like they're your coworkers or your family members, and you can sort of gripe about them and joke about them and see them outside of it. So in that sense, I do always want to have that world outside of the book. Now, whether I'm going to visit that again, that would be based on whether there were a story to tell.
Right, which you won't know probably until some other time. Although what's interesting, you've created this website, which I think your website is really good.
Thank you.
You know, it's a very clean design, and I like the way you laid it out. But I was really interested in this section where you had an artist, a graphic artist, illustrate the characters, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, in a kind of pop culture way, you know, the characters are there, and you've got a little story about each of them. And
yeah.
You know, what prompted you to do that? I'm just sort of curious.
Well, I should start by saying that I really appreciate what you're saying about the website, and I can take no credit for that, because these are all just talented friends of mine who have been really nice and you know, interested enough in the project to help me out with these different things. So that's been a really fun part of the book, to have it kind of live outside of me with these other people who know the characters and know things about me in the book and want to share those with readers. What prompted me to do the section that I call Finney's World, that has all these different characters in it, was really, one was the fact that this artist, David Ostow, who's a terrific illustrator, was working on a book trailer with another artist to kind of advertise the novel, and he was drawing all of these great pictures of the characters, and I just started to think to myself that it would be really fun to be able to kind of go back and forth with David and have it be a conversation and be able to describe what I felt about some of the characters, and he would be able to give his feelings through the drawings, and it sort of keep that world of the book alive for both of us. And I just like the idea of kind of you can meet you know, one person or another in the book.
Yeah, I think it's fun. And I, you know, I also think that for, you know, I mean, if you've read the book already, then I, you know, seeing the characters is a kind of fun way of seeing how you imagine them or somebody that you worked with imagine them. But even if you haven't read the book, it's not going to spoil it. You know, although there is this interesting thing, I don't know whether other people feel this way about fiction, but when you read a book, you imagine the characters in your mind in a certain way based on your descriptions of people are very evocative. You know, so I felt, you know, very comfortable imagining who these people were and what they looked like. And, you know, you kind of carry them as an image in your head. I assume you have the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, since you've written them. But it's interesting to see how my view of that person might vary. You know, that's seeing the characters drawn. You know, I can say, well, no, that's not how I saw it.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. And that's a worry that you always have. That, I mean, I wanted to set it up as being one person's interpretations. Those were, you know, those were David Ostow's interpretations of the book. And I can understand that sometimes when you see a movie and you sort of picture that leading person as the character in the
right.
book. And so there's always that. I just felt when I weighed everything that, it, you know, it would be a fun thing to do. So we went with it. But I do see what you're saying.
I think it's fine, though. You know, it's just sort of because it's not, it isn't like a movie as much where, you know, you kind of feel that someone else has taken over your imagination. You know, this is much less intrusive in that way. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that. I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you was, do you feel now like you're a novelist or are you going to write another novel, or are you just an open, you know, open at this point to whether you go back to short stories or, you know,
or catering?
Pardon me?
Or catering,
yes. Well, whatever pays the bills.
Yes.
You know, it might be catering for a while. You never
yes.
know.
Right.
The way the book business is these days, it's hard to make a lot of money as a writer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as I guess I am very attached to the novel form from writing this book, and the book that I'm working on now is another novel. So I definitely will be writing novels. Whether I also go back and write short stories, that's I'd love to be able to keep that open. I think that's a hard balance that a lot of writers try to strike. But there was something that was really wonderful about being able to immerse myself in this book and these characters, and I just sort of felt such a deep I don't know what the word is, love or care for these different destinies that I was really interested in figuring out where it would go and what would happen. And I think that feeling was something that I got a little bit addicted to writing this, so I want to do it again in this next novel.
Well, that makes sense. I think I've heard that from writers many times, that the immersion in this other world is transformative, you know, that it, as you said before, it gets you out of yourself, it puts you into
yeah.
some other place, and maybe that by itself is something addictive just because it's so powerful.
It is, and it's just a fun experience to be able to do that, and you kind of, these weird things start to happen where you, like, find yourself laughing at something that some imaginary person is saying, so you're almost like, you become a little bit crazy, right, you know, writing it when you get really absorbed in it, so, but it is a fun thing, and I only hope that my, you know, friends and family won't, you know, be too judgmental about what it does to you.
Well, you know, writers have a special status in our culture. You're allowed to get away with things that regular people cannot.
Oh, okay. I hope so.
I think it's true. Now, just one last question, and that
sure.
is, you know, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but in your, you've mentioned Dickens as an influence, but of contemporary writers,
mm-hmm.
is there any one, two, or three writers that you really think of as being key for you and people that whose work you read and just think is great?
There's so many, but I guess just people off the top of my head, Alice Munro, I've loved, especially the sort of middle, longer stories of hers. I find just to be magnificent. So she's kind of stuck with me over a long time. I love Haruki Murakami, and a number of his novels have that wonderful sense of playfulness that I really would love to be able to get into my books. So those are a couple, and, you know, if we had longer, I would tell you 30 more.
Well, it's good. It's good to hear. You know, it just sort of helps you understand where someone comes from to hear those things. So I think it's useful. It doesn't mean, you know, that it, you know, you're pegged in some way. I don't think anyway. It's just, but it's good to know. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your talking to me, Justin, and I've enjoyed it. I hope others will read Finney, a novel. It's trade paperback original from Random House, publishing in July. This has been Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm your host, David Wilk, and today we've been talking to Justin Kramen, the author of Finney. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you so much for having me, David.